and our people.
Radio Eersterivier, ons stasie, ons talent, ons mense. WhatsApp ons by 064-536-9095. Talk to us, die ding ruk hier.
Calling all parents for grade 8 and 9 learners. Is your child struggling with mathematics, or do they need extra support to build a strong foundation for grade 10 and beyond? Inspire Study is here to help. Expert tutoring, your child will gain confidence, improved problem-solving skills, and develop a love for mathematics. We offer personalized support and engaging lessons with a small group sessions. Join us every Saturday at Eersterivier Library. Limited spots available. Call or WhatsApp 079-217-3490 today to enroll and book a session. Strong math skills today mean a brighter opportunity tomorrow.
Oh, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Oh, yes. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Lord, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, this I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. The operation of His Spirit to give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Keep me burning.
God bless you and welcome on this Tuesday morning to the leading internet radio station on the Mother City, Radio East River. May the Lord bless you and may be with you. Yes, that's our prayer, that He will give us more oil so that we can keep on burning. May the Lord bless you and may be with you. And thank you for those that are tuned in right here on the program and the platform. Those watching on Facebook, on YouTube, those tuned in right here on Facebook or on TikTok, and also those listening on our app, Radio East River. And also on our website, www.radioeasterriver.co.za. We welcome you to the program and the platform here with me, Evangelist Elmer, and I'm addressing you live from the studios of Radio Easter River in Cape Town, South Africa. May the Lord bless you and may He be with you. Now, yes, I know it's an irregular time, it's an irregular day, but any day can be God's day. Hallelujah. We don't know the day and the hour when Jesus will come, and we don't know the day and the hour when we will die. So we are just grateful for the Lord giving us this opportunity and also this platform so that we can come into your home and heart and share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you to DJ Jo for giving me this special slot this morning. I truly appreciate it from the bottom of my heart, as I appreciate this radio station in general for allowing me to just come into the community and to speak to your heart and life and to share with you what Jesus Christ has to say in His word. Now, it's this beautiful song sung there by Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart is about to celebrate his 90th birthday, and we're just grateful for the Lord for keeping him and blessing us with the wonderful gospel songs that's still reaching the ends of the world. And that is a perfect example of when God gives you a gift, you should use it to His glory and to His purpose. Not for yourself, not to benefit or glorify yourself, but to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So may the Lord be with you, may He bless you. And yes, we are looking forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as the bridegroom. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, that those that were ready, they went out to meet Him. So when the Lord comes, those that are ready will meet Him, and those that are ready are those that have oil in their lamp. Now the Bible speaks about the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. And the foolish virgins, when the midnight cry went forth in Matthew 25, the Bible says, and at midnight, not at evening time, at midnight, there was a cry made, and it said, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him. And then we see that those that had oil in their lamps, which were the wise virgins, they were ready. But the foolish virgins were still asking for some of the oil to be shared with them. Now, the oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And that is the prerequisite, that is the requirement to go into the rapture, to be a participant of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that will resurrect your dead body from the grave when the trumpet goes off, and when Jesus shall come again. The Bible says in the book of Romans 8 verse 9, if somebody doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, then he does not belong to Him. Yes. And also in verse 11, it says that if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, then the same Spirit will also quicken you. Hallelujah. It will bring you back from the dead at the second coming of Christ, at the rapture. It is the Holy Spirit that will quicken your mortal body. And we're just grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ, for His precious word. And that is so essential today, that we must receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is quite clear on this. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says that we should ask and it shall be given, that we should knock and it shall be opened. Yes. And Jesus said, if we as parents, being bad, know to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall God give the Holy Spirit unto those that ask Him? So the Holy Spirit is a matter of asking. Yes, you should ask God to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Bible gives us clear instructions on how to receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 verse 38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Bible doesn't keep any secrets on this topic. The Bible doesn't keep it for certain people, but it is available to all people that believe. The Bible says the promise is unto you and unto your children and to many that are far off, that the Lord our God shall call. Now, today is a special edition broadcast of a study in the Word, and we want to address this morning the topic of backsliding, and particularly the three things that a minister of the gospel must watch out for. Three things that can make a preacher to fall. So I hope there's plenty of preachers and pastors that tuned in this morning just to take this word of advice from the Word of God. Now, I'm just a vessel, an instrument to relay the message and to reiterate what is already found in the Holy Bible. But for those that are tuned in this morning, especially gospel ministers, preachers, there are three things that you should watch out for. Three things that can make a minister to fall and to damage his reputation. And we shall start for a reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 24 and verse 16. The Bible says, "For the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes." So here the Bible makes it very plain that the righteous falls seven times. Yes, he stumbles seven times. So it is possible for a righteous person to fall. It is possible for a righteous person to stumble. And we should not be surprised when this happens. The fall happened already with the first man, which is Adam. Now, there is only one first man, and he was Adam. Some people believe and instigate the belief that there was a pre-Adamic race, that there were people that roamed the earth before Adam. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the first man was Adam. Now, Adam himself fell. We know that he fell. Yes, he also transgressed. And then before the time of Adam, there was heavenly hosts. The angels were created before us. And the Bible speaks about it very plain in the book of Job chapter 38. When God addresses Job and says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the sons of God were shouting for joy." So the angels were definitely created before us. And when it comes to the angels, the angelic hosts, we see that there was an overseer, a general overseer above them. And his name was Lucifer. whose name translates into bearer of light. And we see particularly with Lucifer in Ezekiel chapter 28. The Bible says that he was perfect in his ways until iniquity was found in his heart. And then the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 14, "How art thou fallen, O Lucifer?" So the devil fall, Adam fall, and we see that even the very first church that was started on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, the very first church did not start in Rome. The first church was not the Roman Catholic Church, but the first church was the church that was founded on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, and that was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see even with this first church, hallelujah, the first church of Jesus Christ, the original church, the first church, the church that was founded by the Lord himself, and Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Even the first church fell. So it is possible for an individual to fall. It is possible for somebody after you have become a believer that you can fall. You can transgress. You can commit errors. Once a person has become converted, yes, once a person has accepted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, it does not imply that such an individual has now become infallible. There is nobody that is infallible. Only God is infallible. Hallelujah. God himself is infallible. The Bible speaks with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ that in his mouth was found no guile. In his mouth there was no sin, there was no iniquity. Only Jesus Christ is infallible. But everybody else is bound to mistakes, is bound to transgress. And we should be sober-minded when it comes to this topic, because many times people take the pastor as the example. They take the prophet as the example. They take some great minister as the example. And when the minister falls, they fall with him. And that is the great mistake that many people make. We should never take preachers, pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, apostles, what else as our examples. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that we should keep the eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So Jesus Christ alone should be your example. He should be the object of your faith. He should be the only one that you look up to. Hallelujah. And many times people look up to preachers, pastors, ministers, and then when the minister makes a mistake and stumbles, such a people also stumble with the minister. So it is very important, people, that we should keep the eyes fixed upon Jesus. We follow Jesus, and we preach Jesus, and we worship Jesus, and we glorify Jesus. And to us as Christians, it is all about Christ. Hallelujah. It is not about me, about you, about the next person, but it is about Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul was emphasizing this too in his epistle to the Corinthians. And he was saying that we preach Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. And he was saying that we do not preach ourselves. So I'm not here to present myself or somebody else, but I'm here to present the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can look into the Holy Bible and we can find various examples. Hallelujah. And there are various examples of people in the Bible, great people in the Bible, spectacular people in the Bible that were gifted of God and that stood out amongst the crowd. But even such individuals did fall. Even such individuals did make mistakes. Now, it can happen that a person can backslide after becoming righteous. It can happen that the righteous person can become unrighteous, and it can also be so happen that the unrighteous person can become righteous. Yes, so these things are happening all the time. Yes, that the righteous people become unrighteous and unrighteous people become righteous. Now, we can look at various characters in the Bible, and although they stood out for what they did, we see that nonetheless they also backslided in the eyes of God. We start, for instance, with Noah. The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. But nonetheless, Noah was a person after the flood that he drank some wine and he became drunk. Yes. And then we look, for instance, at people like Abraham, yes, a descendant of Noah. He was a person that God chose, that God elected. But he was also a person that told a lie and that said that Sarah is my sister and not my wife, out of fear that they would kill him. And then we look, for instance, at other characters in the Bible like Moses. The Bible says there was nobody upon the face of the earth like him that was more meek than Moses in the book of Numbers chapter number 12. But yes, Moses was a person that lost his temper. Yes, Moses was a person that lost his cool. And instead of speaking to the rock as God had commanded him, he smote the rock. And because of his disobedience, God didn't allow him to go into the promised land. Now, backsliddenness can be defined as being disobedient to God. And this happens to many believers on a daily basis. And therefore, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 that I die daily. So repentance is not a once-off thing. Repentance is not just the first day you accepted Christ as your own personal Savior. Repentance is not just about raising your hand, bowing your knees, praying to God. But repentance is something that should be happening on a daily basis. That we should be rectifying our errors, that we should confess our wrongs, that we should turn to the Lord our God, and that we should ask for His forgiveness. Now, only God can forgive sins. There's no Pope that can forgive sins. There is no Father that can forgive sins. There is no preacher that can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. And we should ask for His forgiveness. And His forgiveness was made available through the atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And it is only when we acknowledge the sacrifice, hallelujah, and the blood that was shed, and we ask for forgiveness based on what He did, that we can truly be forgiven, that we can be justified in His sight. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5, from verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So justification happens only through Jesus Christ. God came to us through Christ or in Christ, and the only way that we can go back to God is through Christ again. Hallelujah. He is the mediator between God and man. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. Only Jesus Christ and Him alone. Only His blood was worthy enough to take away the stain of sin. Hallelujah. And when John the Baptist looked at Him, in John chapter 1 verse 29, he cried out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world," the sin of the world. And only through Jesus Christ can we truly obtain forgiveness of sins and reconciliation back to the Father. Hallelujah. There's no other way, there's no other name. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through Him. And the Bible also says in Acts chapter 4 verse 12 that there is no other name given under heaven by which man must be saved. Hallelujah. So we see that great characters of the Bible, they failed and they backslid. And backslidness can be defined as a condition where you disobey God. Yes, when we transgress His commandments, when we overstep the boundaries that He has set for us. But there are three specific things in particular that a preacher must watch out for. And this counts not just for the preacher, but for everybody else. But in particular for the preacher, because it can have detrimental consequences. Yes, when the preacher himself, yes, when the preacher oversteps a certain boundary and becomes ensnared, it can damage the entire flock. It can damage the entire congregation. And those three things that the preacher must watch out for is women, money, and fame. Yes, those three things are the three things that stand out in the Bible, that great characters of the Bible have slipped up and have become totally rejected and outcast. Now, if we focus on the first one, we see that woman is the topic. And when it comes to a female, God created females. Hallelujah. The devil didn't create females. The Bible says that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And then God took out one of his ribs, and then God formed a woman and brought it to him. And he called her woman because she was taken from the man. Woe, man, woman. Hallelujah. And a woman is something that is considered a blessing, something that is great, something that is wonderful. And as long as a woman is a godly woman, she can be a great blessing and a support, especially for a man of God. A man of God that has a godly woman next to him, hallelujah, is the greatest support that there is. Yes. And she is the one that can strengthen and encourage him through prayer, hallelujah, and by backing him up. And that is exactly where she belongs. She needs to back him up, so she needs to be behind him. But an ungodly woman can cause many a man to stumble. An ungodly woman can cause the downfall of many, many preachers. And we find, for an example, the man by the name of Samson in the Bible, in the book of Judges, chapter number 16, where the Bible speaks about him getting involved with a prostitute, and after the prostitute getting involved with Delilah. Now, we know that Samson was born as a deliverer. There was an angel sent to his mother and father. And this angel was a manifestation of God himself. In the book of Judges chapter number 13, we see that a message was given to his parents that this boy that would be born is to be a Nazarite, yes, dedicated unto God, because he was born for the specific purpose of delivering Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And we see that Samson's fall came through a woman. Yes, and by Delilah cutting off his hair, by him giving away his secret, we see that so he lost his strength, and his strength was in his hair. Because God gave a commandment, yes, that the Nazarites, yes, they are the ones that they had to grow out their hair and their beard as long as they were Nazarites, and that they were not to touch a body of a dead person and not to drink any wine. And they were dedicated to God. And that is what the church should also be today. The church should be Nazarites, dedicated completely for God and set aside from the things of the world completely to God. The church should be sanctified. The church should be holy. Hallelujah. The church should not intermingle and intertwine with the things of the world, but the church should be separate unto God. Hallelujah. And we see that Samson, because Delilah persuaded him and she found his soft spot, hallelujah, he gave his secret away. First he tried to trick and fool her, but eventually gave up his secret. And his secret was in his hair. And the moment that Samson's hair was cut, he lost his strength. And when Delilah shouted and said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you," he still thought the Lord was with him, and the Lord was no longer with him. And Samson, being a great leader in Israel, we see that that is how he came to his fall, through a woman that seduced him. And this is what preachers should also be on the lookout out there, because there are many women that have that Delilah spirit on them. Women that are beautiful, women that are attractive, and they are out there just to entice the man, yes, and to lead him into sin, and thereby he loses his strength. And that is how a preacher loses his strength, the moment he gives over into the wrong things, yes, such as being involved with women. That can cause a minister to lose the anointing, to lose the power of God, to lose the strength that is endued unto him, and to come to a fall. And if we look into history, we've seen that many preachers of the gospel have given over to women, and they fell through women, and thus damage their reputation, thus damage their communities, thus damage their congregations. And the damage sometimes is beyond repair. It takes the grace of God for a minister to be restored back into that position. And it is possible for restoration, yes, but it is better, prevention is better than the cure, hallelujah. To abstain is better than to get involved. And then we see something else that ministers of the gospel should watch out for is money, yes. And that is exactly what Judas Iscariot fell for, yes. He fell for money, and through money he betrayed Christ. Now, Judas was once a minister of the gospel. Judas was once a person that preached, that cast out devils, that healed the sick, that did all these marvelous works. But we see that he betrayed Christ for 30 shekels of silver. And many times preachers do that. They sell out Christ. And who is Christ? He is the Word. The Bible says in John 1 verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And many times it so happens that people sell out the Word. They compromise the Word because they want to please people and to benefit themselves. And this is exactly what Judas did. He sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And sometimes ministers fall into that trap as well, because of gaining monetary value. They will compromise on the Bible and withhold the teachings, the true teachings of the Bible, to please people. And another point we can look at is fame. And we see this with Saul, king of Israel, that he, because of popularity, yes, because the people liked him, God gave a clear instruction that he was to destroy the Amalekites. But yet he brought back Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and he brought some of the animals to be slaughtered, thinking that the people would like him probably even more, and thinking that he was doing God a favor. But for chasing after popularity, we see that he also became doomed in the sight of God. And in particular with Saul, the Bible says, "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you as well to be king over his people." Now, people, these are three points that stand out. And for all the preachers and pastors tuned in this morning, they should take special attention to this topic, yes, because this is what is causing and wreaking havoc in the church world out there. Preachers compromising, falling for women, falling for money, falling for fame, and not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to take a break quickly. We're going to listen to the song, "Give Me Oil in My Lamp." If there's anybody that needs oil, you can pray to God right now, and He will give that to you. God bless you.
Yes, our station, our talent, our people.
Tidang Rugby.
Radio Eerste Rivier, ons stasie, ons talent, ons mense. WhatsApp ons by 064-536-9095. Talk to us, die dung ruk hier.
Het jy geweet? You can have TB with no symptoms. The Oram Institute strives to create a TB-free community for future generations. Come and get your free chest x-ray at the Clanflay Community Healthcare Center. We are based here in Easter Rivier. We operate Monday to Friday between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. No appointment needed, no referrals from the doctors needed. Ja, jy het my reg gehoor, die diens is gratis.
Oh, give me all in my land, keep me burning. Give me all in my land, I pray. Oh, yes. Give me all in my land, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Lord, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. This I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Lord, I need the Holy Spirit within my heart at all times. I need His presence, the operation of His Spirit, to give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day.
Soulful music. The biggest variety.
God bless you and welcome back to this morning's special edition broadcast of A Study in the Word with me, Evangelist Elmer, addressing you from the studios of Radio East River here in Cape Town, South Africa. And I'm just grateful for the Lord for allowing me to do what I do. Now, I don't do it because I want to do it, but I do it because God wants me to do it. And God said that we should go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that is exactly what I'm doing here, as the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, that he should do the work of an evangelist and that he should fulfill his ministry. Now, there might be some that say that I'm not an evangelist, but there were also some that said that Jesus was not the Christ. And so it many times happened that genuine ministries are overlooked and denied, and they are not being accepted. But my aim is not to please people, but to please God and to preach His word in His purity and His originality. So we're speaking this morning about backsliding, yes, and the three things that can make a minister to fall. And that is woman, money, and fame. And these three things are many times what causes pastors to crumble. And when they crumble, their ministries crumble with them. And people many times have the misconception that preachers cannot fall, that preachers cannot fail. And this teaching itself comes from the Roman Catholic Church, for instance, where it is believed that the Pope is infallible. But I'm here to remind you of the sober fact that nobody is infallible, but God Himself and God alone is infallible. There is no human being that is born into this world, born of a woman, born of sin, that is infallible. No, everybody is subject to mistakes. Everybody is subject to fault. And many times people have this misconception that once a person has become converted, once a person has become saved, that such a person can no longer commit any errors. Now, that is not right. That is not the correct understanding. It is a fact that that person's errors has been forgiven, but that doesn't mean that that person can no longer commit errors. It often happens in the life of a believer that a person can make the wrong choice, the wrong decision. It can happen that the person can fall into temptation. It can happen that a person that is a believer can commit a fault. But the Bible gives instructions concerning this. Hallelujah. The Bible says that in the book of James, chapter number 5, that we should confess our faults to one another. Hallelujah. Even believers, people that go to church, the Bible says, confess your faults to one another. Hallelujah. So even if you are a believer for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, you must confess your faults to one another, because people can commit faults. And as long as you're in the body of flesh, you are still subject to faults. And once a person starts to follow Jesus Christ, the devil does not stop chasing you. The devil does not stop hunting you. The devil does not stop tempting you. So as long as the devil is behind you, it means you are on the right track. But the moment the devil is next to you, and the moment the devil is in front of you, that means that you are on the wrong course, that you are on the wrong track. So people can commit, yes, even church going people can make mistakes. But to God it matters when you can confess your mistake, when you can acknowledge your mistake. And that is what God wants. Confession. Hallelujah. We must confess our sins. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, then He is true and just to forgive us the sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. God is able to cleanse you if you confess. Now, people, all of us error, yes, but Jesus Christ came, hallelujah, as the substitute, as a propitiation, to take away our errors, to take away our sins, to take away our iniquities. And what matters is that you can acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you can acknowledge that you have transgressed, that you can acknowledge that you have committed the error, and ask for God's forgiveness. But there are those, as the Bible condemns and rebukes and calls out against in Isaiah chapter 5. There are those that call right wrong and wrong right. Now that is something that is inexcusable. For you to be wrong is one thing, but for you to say it's right to be wrong, that is something on a totally different level. The Bible says, woe unto them that call right wrong and wrong right. Those that call evil good and that call good evil. So for them that is a greater judgment waiting, a greater condemnation. Yes, because God will ask accountability of them, and they will have to answer before the Most High. Now, how do we know right from wrong? The Bible is the standard of righteousness. The Bible is what tells us what to do and what not to do. The Bible is the measuring stick that by which we must evaluate and judge all things, whether it is our, in our personal lives, whether it is in church life, and whether it is any topic in general. The Bible is the book of the believers. The Bible is what guides us. The Bible is what gives us direction. The Bible is what tells us what to do and what not to do. Hallelujah. And what is right and what matters is when one can acknowledge the Bible as the source and the measuring stick. But what is wrong is when one defies and questions, and when one rebels against the authority of the Scripture. Hallelujah. Because the Scripture is the final say. The Bible says in John chapter 12, Jesus himself speaking, he says, if any man hears my word and believes it not, I judge him not. The word that I spoke to him will judge him in the last day. Hallelujah. So the Bible is what God will be using as the measurement, as the criteria by which he will judge humanity. Hallelujah. So we should stop with this thing where we still think that nobody can commit a fault. If we do commit the fault, what matters is that we rectify that fault. Now, there are sins that are against God and there are sins that are against man. If you sin against another man or another woman, then you need to rectify it with that person. If you sin against God, you need to rectify it with God himself. So we were looking at this morning the three things that makes a minister to fall, that a preacher in particular should be on the lookout. And we looked at Samson that fell through a woman. And this is something that's very, very important. And if you are a preacher of the gospel, you should look for a godly woman to be your companion. Yes, because a godly woman will build up the house and will be a support and blessing to her husband. But the ungodly woman will cause a man's downfall. And many times it so happens, like it happened with Samson, that ministers are enticed by beautiful looking women that have one purpose in mind, and that is to destroy them. Women that are dressed improperly, women that are presented improperly. And the aim of that is to commit an improper act with a man. And this is something that preachers should ask God for help for. Yes, when the temptation comes, that God will give them strength to overcome. And then we see with Saul, king of Israel, that it was about popularity. Yes, it was about being popular. Because the people liked Saul because of his height, his length, his strength. And then Saul, instead of obeying the command of the Lord and just bringing back nothing and destroying everything about the Amalekites, he nonetheless brought back Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And he also brought back some of the cattle to be sacrificed unto God. And many times you get preachers that also want to be popular. So they won't speak out against the wrong things. They won't speak out against sin. They won't tell the people what the Bible actually has to say. Out of fear that they will lose their stand with the people, they will lose their popularity, they will lose their likes, and they will also maybe lose with it some benefits that the people are supplying them with. But a true preacher of the gospel has one aim, and that aim is to please God. And it is so much better if you're not preaching for money, so that you don't need to hold back. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says that if I was still to please men, I would not be a servant of God. And he was even asking the question, should I still please men or should I please God? And a preacher should only be there to please God. He should preach the Bible the way it is written, without fear, without favor, without compromise, without thinking about what the next person will say. But he needs to preach the word the way that it is written. And then we have Judas Iscariot, for instance, a minister of the gospel, a preacher that came to a fall because of money, that sold Christ out because of money. And there are many also of this caliber that will withhold the word, that will sell out the word in exchange for money, in exchange for personal gain. They will betray the word. And it can so easily happen that one can slip up, especially if you are in need, and that you can betray the word. You can give in. You can say, I'm not going to preach this part of the Bible, I'll just preach that part of the Bible. Because once you start to preach this part of the Bible, you might lose some members in your congregation. And many times it can happen that there are people in churches that are committing certain sins. You look, for instance, if there are people in the church that are sleeping around and not married. Now you're scared to address the topic of fornication or adultery, because once you address the topic, the people that are committing the sin, they will leave or withdraw from your church. If they need to leave, then let them leave. Those that are here to obey God, they will follow God. Jesus was saying in John chapter 18, for this reason I was born into this world, or came into this world, to testify of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Hallelujah. And many times people, because of money, they have a fear that people will leave their congregations once they start to speak out against their sins, or once they start to touch on delicate topics that the Bible addresses. The people will then pack up and leave, and as they pack up and leave, their money will leave with them also. But this should not be the objective or motive at all for any preacher of the gospel. A preacher should have one sole purpose, and that should be to glorify and to please God. Hallelujah. And that shows us once again how important it is to be a preacher of the gospel. It is not something to be taken lightly, but it is a huge, tremendous responsibility. A preacher is called to preach the word. Hallelujah. Now, if you would sit down with a doctor, a medical doctor, a general practitioner, the doctor will tell you what is written in his book, what medicine and science has taught him about the human body and diseases. If you sit down with a lawyer, the lawyer will tell you what his book teaches him concerning laws and legislations. Yes. Now, when it comes to the preacher has a duty to tell the people what his book says, and that is the book of God, the Bible. Hallelujah. And many times as a preacher of the gospel, you might lose popularity, you might lose money, you might lose attraction, you might lose a lot. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, what does it profit a man if he would gain the whole world but lose his life? It's better to lose the whole world and have your soul saved through Christ than to gain all the popularity, money, attraction, and all these things, and then to lose your soul. Now, we also want to make a distinction between being backslidden and being an apostate. Now, many believers backslide on a daily basis. Sometimes we say a word that we're not supposed to say. Sometimes we do something we're not supposed to do. But we should come back immediately and repent to God. Hallelujah. But then there are those that are in a totally different category. And that is to be an apostate. Now, to be an apostate means to drift away from the faith, to deny the faith, to deny the Bible, to renounce your faith, to renounce God. And there are so many apostates in the world today. People that were once so-called born-again Christians, people that were once upon a time Bible-believing people that followed the message of God, people that claimed to believe, yes, but then these people were actually exposed as make-believers. And there were many make-believers in the Bible, people that pretended to believe. Judas is an example of a make-believer, a person that walked all the way with Jesus, but right before Pentecost, he showed his true colors, and he denied or he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are people like that that are apostates, yes. There are people that have denied the faith. There are people that have drifted away from God. There are people, in fact, that turn their backs on God. Not just daily transgressing or making an error or a fault, but people that have turned upon God or against God. Now, to be in that category is a very, very dangerous place to be in. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 that it is terrible to fall into the hands of the living God. And to be an apostate is something terrible. It is to be an outcast, yes. It is to be cut off from the people of God. It is to be cut off from God himself. It is to be cut off from the word of God. Now, if you find yourself in that position, it is a very, very dangerous position. And there's nothing else than judgment that waits upon such an individual. But if one is finding himself in a desire to still serve God, in a desire to still want to do right, in a desire to still want to do that which is right, then such a person can still find grace. The fact that there is still something bothering you in your mind and saying that I have committed a wrong, that means that you are on the right track. The fact that your conscience is still bothering you when you did a sin, that means that it is still God pulling in your heart and still God convicting you of your sin and your iniquity and your transgression. If you find yourself in that position that you still feel guilty when you commit a wrong, then there is still grace for you to make right that wrong. But if you get to a point where your sin no longer bothers you, where you no longer care about what you do, what you say, how you act, or what else, that means that you are in a very, very dangerous zone. But God has grace even for backsliders. And if we look at the people of Israel in the book of Judges, they backslided many, many times, yes. But we see that they didn't lose their covenant with God. God gave them grace, hallelujah. And God allowed the enemies to overtake them and to punish them and to take them captive. And because of that suppression from the enemies, it forced them to cry out to God. And many times you find backsliders in church that drift away from God. And then God sometimes allows things to come their way, either a sickness, either a plague, or God allows things to go wrong so that they once again can get on their knees and once again pray and call upon the Lord. The Bible says that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. And that is what we need to do again. We need to call upon the name of the Lord, not upon a title of the Lord. Now, the Lord has many titles. The Lord is called the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Lord is called the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. The Lord is called the Bright in the Morning Star. The Lord is called Wonderful and Mighty God and Prince of Peace and Everlasting Father. The Lord is called many things, but the Lord is one name, and that name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. The Lord is one name, and that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just grateful for that wonderful name. The name that is above every other name. If there's anybody out there this morning in the radio land that would like to call upon the name of the Lord and wants to be saved, if there's anybody this morning that wants to accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, you can bow your head and close your eyes wherever in the world you are right now, and you can pray with us. Dear Lord, I come to you as a sinner, acknowledging that I have sinned. I come to you as a backslider. I come to you as a transgressor. But I ask for your grace, because your word says your grace is sufficient. I repent of my evil, my iniquities, Lord, what I committed in word, thought, or deed. And I pray that you will just give me strength to fight this fight of faith and to finish the race. And I pray, Lord, that you will fill me anew with your Holy Spirit. Give me oil in my lamp, because that is what I need, Heavenly Father. And I ask this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, beloved. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity, the privilege to come into your home and heart this morning on the various platforms here on TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, on our Radio Easter River app, and also on our website, www.radioeasterriver.co.za. It was a wonderful privilege for me to share with you once again the Word of God. As I go off the air, we listen to the song again, Give Me Oil in My Lamp by Jimmy Swaggart. Until the next time, God bless you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
The best variety of music on your favorite radio station.
Radio Easter River. Butcher's Market offers the best quality, locally sourced and 100% halal meats. Visit our store at Tampere Square Mall. Contact us at 021-565-0499 TPM for your halal meats.
Oh, give me all in my land. Keep me burning. Give me all in my land, I pray. Oh, yes. Give me all in my land. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Lord, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. This I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray.